Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, the FinFab channel, the Biz World channel. We're going to talk about a lot of things here today: wellness, fitness, business. A great story with someone who is an entrepreneur, self-healing coach, an author of multiple books, and just a phenomenal story that we need to hear and certainly will be inspired by. So without any further ado, I have with me Chris Tsakos. Chris, welcome to the show, man.
Okay, thank you for having me. Nice to be here.
Oh, listen, it's a pleasure and honor. And you know what? When I read your stuff, it's pretty impressive. Your story, your journey with all the ups and downs and, the resilience, I guess, and your self-healing, that's a big one. And, you know, we live in an era now where people are just, you know, sick and there's all kind of bad nutrition out there, bad food, bad elements, bad weather, bad pollution. I mean, also all different things, and people get hurt, of course. And, you know, there's a healthcare and or sick care, depends on who's talking and watching right now. I mean, some people will actually call it both. But the fact is, you've done quite a bit, you know, to maintain your health. You look great.
So
let's start with your journey, like how it all, you know, started and how you got into the healthcare concept where you had to self-heal because you didn't want to go the medicinal way. You want the healing way or the natural way. So let's start, you know, from the beginning, from the, you know, for our audiences, and then we can highlight all the great stuff. Okay. And of course your business journey as well, because I think there's a lot there, because you've succeeded there too and you're still doing a lot of that. So let's talk about all that.
Okay, great. So my name is Chris Tsakos. I was born and raised in New York City. I lived in Queens. I moved to Manhattan on the Lower East Side. I come from a tough neighborhood. My generation, there was a lot going on with all the different gangs around. I lost my best friend at the age of 20. He got murdered. And from that point on, I said, you know, life's got to be different than this. This is not what life is supposed to be. So I always maintained myself in the fitness world. I was always healthy. I was an exceptional baseball player. I was scouted by two professional baseball teams. I didn't make it. I guess I wasn't on that level, because that's a high level to be on. But then I went into construction at an early age. I think it was 5 or 6 years later, the boss called me in the office. He wants me to be the supervisor of the company. Take your tools off. I was working with tools at the time. And I became a leader from that point on. I think I was like 25 or 26 years old, I became a leader. And that started me off, to become an entrepreneur. Lifting weights is my thing. I'm 65 years old. I'm in great shape. I eat healthy. I'm here to give my story. Maybe somebody can resonate, or somebody wants to improve their life, they can listen to what I have to offer.
Well, there's a lot in there, and by the way, thank you for being on with us today, because you're right. Somebody can, and not somebody, many would and can, you know, really learn and improve their lives through your expertise and experiences, and really life itself. I mean, your stories about life are just big, and you already mentioned a few things that I'd like to just kind of break down a little bit further. You know, so one is, early age, you lose a good friend, and you said it, you know, back in the days, you know, some parts of New York were not the greatest parts, and you're right. I mean, New York has gone up and down, you know, over the years, and, you know, maybe today it's not really in its best top, you know, shape, you know, as we speak currently, but it, you're right, there was a point where it was just a tough place, and especially some neighborhoods more than others, and, you know, gangs and all that stuff, it's part of the city life, and, you know, It's very difficult to lose a friend. I've lost friends as well, not to gangs, but, you know, to accidents, to, you know, just being foolish, you know, as a kid and doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing, right? Speed driving, all the stuff. And it, you know, remains with you, right? It stays with you as a young person that, you know, why, you know, someone who had potentially a whole life, you know, loses their life in that time. And today we have, you know, suicide, we have all kind of stuff. People are losing friends at all levels, but at that age, there is an impact. You know, it certainly affects. And I guess what you said is, like, you know, this is not what it's supposed to look like, right? And you got that early on, you kind of put your head straight and you figured out a way to get in. Now, I love what you said about that you work with tools and there's no shame in the game there. There's nothing wrong with that. People do school, you did school or you didn't, irrelevant. You found something that was you and you made it work. And, you know, but, you know, it's amazing how you stress the idea that the boss called you and said, hey, you know, I'd like you to lead, you know, so there's definitely something that your, you know, boss at the time saw in you that made him actually make that decision. And frankly, to bring someone in to kind of basically take over and take, you know, in charge of things, you know, it takes, you know, obviously visibility. And actually, I just had a show where we talked about that you have to be in the face of the powers that be to be selected if you want to go and move up in the ladder. And you did that. Now, I want just you to spend time about how the impact, you know, obviously how, you know, how did you cope, you know, with the death of a dear friend? And just briefly, because I think a lot of people may have similar experiences and sometimes they don't know how to do it. You know, obviously you moved on, but was there anything specific that you did that kind of got you through it? Or it was just like, you know what, this is it. I'm just gone. I'm going to do my thing and walk out of this life. How was it? How was that transition? And then the next question will be, you know, certainly about how did you highlight yourself where your boss really saw you as the next leader? And then we'll take it from there.
Okay, great. Great questions. So when he died, it was very calm. Everything was calm. So when I mean by calm, I was in orbit. I was in space. Every day went by. I was like in Mars, Venus. I was in space. Like, you know, I couldn't believe it. I was 20 years old, you know. It's not like today. If I lost somebody today, I can handle it much better. But I was young. And, you know, I knew I couldn't save him, you know, and I'll tell you, he's not here with us, but he got involved into drugs. And when he got involved into drugs, and I actually caught him one day, I had a big fight with him, you know, a big argument with him when I caught him doing drugs. I told him, what are you doing, man? This is not us. We don't do this shit. We're in the gym. We're working out. We're athletes. You don't do this shit. But he got so addicted that he stepped on people's toes for drugs. And that's how he got murdered. So it all makes sense because you don't step on people's toes. You don't play with these big time, you know, street guys, you know, dealing drugs. You don't get involved with that shit, man. So the thing, there's something else that happened after his death that I didn't mention. My sister died 5 years after his death. That was the stepping stone for me just to break away because I got angry. When I got angry, I was like, man, I lost my best friend. 5 years later now, my sister was like my second mother. She, you know, my mother, you know, she worked two jobs. My sister was like the cook of the house, put us to bed, give us a bath, put in pajamas, me and my brothers and sisters. Losing her, I started freaking out. Okay. So I started getting angry. I started doing New York shit. Not robbing people, not bullying people, just got involved with shit. You know, I was a bookmaker. I was taking gambling bets. People would call up. You know, I had to get nice business going. When people don't pay, you know, I went and I did my thing. You're not going to pay? You know, what pissed me off about that situation was, and I got in trouble, and I'll explain it to you because I'm an open book today, and it's in my book, all this information. When people won, they were there that Friday to collect their money. When people lost, I had to go chase them. You know, hey, John, where's my money? John, don't pick up the phone. And then when you do see them, there's 1,000 stories. Even in the construction business, when people don't come to work, they're sick. One guy told me his grandfather died 3 times. He forgot to tell me that his grandparents died 3 times. But in that world that I was in the bookmaking gambling business, you know, that would piss you off because you paid them every Friday. They came, they got their money. What was it? 5,000, 3,000, 8,000. But when they owed you, you had to go run. And that's where I got in trouble. So I got in trouble with the law. And it was mandated by the court. They wanted me to do 4 years of mandatory anger management. So I did it. No problem. I'll do the 4 years of anger management. I mean, there was other charges. I wore an ankle bracelet, I think, for a year. They monitor you wherever you go. You know, they monitor all your phone calls. They come to your house. You know, it's like a house arrest thing. So they didn't give me no prison time. So anyway, that changed my life. I gave my therapist from anger management, I gave her a hard time, like the first 3 months, you know, because I was still angry. But then after that, I got to tell you, man, I couldn't wait. It was twice a week. I couldn't wait to go to Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn, and go see her for a session. I couldn't wait because I started feeling good about myself, you know, and looking back with all these traumas, you know, even not making the, you know, the baseball team when the scouts came. I didn't listen to my coach, you know, my friend Johnny died, my sister Paula died. So, you know, I was facing all this shit and this lady was cleaning up my head and it worked. It actually worked. And then I started going back to the neighborhood and I told certain guys, hey, listen, I'm disconnecting from you guys. I love yous, but I'm going to disconnect. I said, because I have to disconnect. You know, I don't want to get in trouble anymore. My boss at the time, let me tell you, no one. To this day, he's my best friend. He's my best friend to this day. I don't work for him, but he's still my best. I was just talking to him the other day. He's my best friend, became my best friend, and he was my boss. He was the one that put me in that position. And I got to tell you, you don't meet people like him anymore. Guys like that are not around anymore. I know. You know, there was times that, you know, I had guys working with me. They were making some big money. I mean, some big money, $5,000, $6,000 a week. And I remember when I got in trouble, not one, and the audience needs to hear this, not one guy helped me. Not one. The only one guy that stepped up was my best friend today, and he was my boss then. He stepped up for me when I needed help. He's the guy. So just keep in mind, you got to watch who your friends are. I'm 65 years old. I'm in great shape. I'm ripped. Got a six-pack. I eat healthy. Getting back to the friendship, watch who your friends are. Listen to me. I know. You got to watch your friends. Any negativity, anything that you like propose to them that you want to do, whether you want to become like a golf player or you want to become an accountant or a lawyer, once they start giving you some negative shit, yo, they're not your friend. So these items that I'm talking about all come from wisdom and experience. I've been there. I lived it. I know about it. You can't get this out of a book. You could go buy a book, but it's not going to come the same the way I'm going to tell you. So you're never going to learn this in an encyclopedia. So just watch who your friends are.
Well, for Chris, there's a lot of things there that you added. One being, you know, obviously you didn't mention about your sister initially, and then you stated now that is a big loss in a very short period of time, especially at that age. And you know, I get it. I mean, you gotta be angry, and you know, everybody copes with it. That's why I asked about how you cope with it, because not everybody gets to handle those things. I don't care how strong you are, there is always a level of you know, impact that's going to be. It's going to cause some anxiety, some depression, some anger, and all those things can add up. And you know, you could have wound up worse. And you know, the good news is, whatever it is, somebody is watching over you, and you went off easy in terms of even the way you got, you know, into trouble with the law and things like that, because you know, you can certainly be put in some hard time or whatever, and then it impacts your life further, but you didn't. So luckily, that was a good thing, and you know, anger management put you in a good direction, because you had someone that kind of, as you stated, literally cleaned your head, right? You got in there, and she got in there and worked, you know, with you to really highlight all those things and remove them, mm-hmm. and show you that you don't need all that. And it worked. Obviously, you know, to date, you know, you're recognized that, and you're, I guess, very happy with that, the results that you had there. I'm not sure if you kept up with that person, but certainly she impacted your life positively as well.
100%.
I love that the fact that you've highlighted this, and this is an important thing for all audiences at all levels, but specifically our youth, right? Because at a younger age, we think everybody around us loves us and everybody is there for you. And what life's going to teach you as you age is that you're going to have a few people that will be from your reminiscences from your early days. And, you know, if you're lucky, many of us, as you said, may have one up to three, you know, if you're big there, right? I mean, that's all there is, you know, three good people that you can trust, that if you pick up a phone, they'll be there for you. If something's happened, they're going to look out, you know, for you and things like that. But in general, you don't get a lot of stuff. Now, we all have great acquaintances and, you know, maybe thousands today. People have thousands of followers, millions of followers, but how many of them are really your true friends? That's an important. And a selective, you know, formula is always needed, meaning that you have to pick the right ones. And the right ones, again, are the ones who are there for you no matter what, up, down. And they'll also help you not get into trouble. You know, not just, you don't have to have your friends only come when you're in trouble. You mm-hmm. want them there at all times. And hopefully, if they're really that good, they will make you move away from anything that can be harmful to you or your health or your life or whatever it is. So again, I love what you said. You know, the same person that was your boss is your friend. And he stepped up and he was there for you when you needed the most. And by the way, again, I don't know the dude, but you know what? That's a great dude. And, you know, I think we should all have someone just like that. And, you know, for the most part, we should, you know, if we have someone like that, we have to keep them tight, you know, in our lives as long as we can. I mean, obviously that can happen for any one of us, but as long as you live, you want these people to be there for you and be there for them as well. That's the other thing. It's a two-way street, not a one-way, you know, thing. So thank you for breaking that down. And again, I love what you said, your open book, and you put it on the book because it is important to share these elements with audiences and readers, because you're right. There is no book that can teach you things, you know, unless you experience them. Now, if you can avoid some stuff through other people's experiences, that's a better deal. You know, right. Why experience, you know, bad stuff when you can avoid it, you know, because if other people have gone through it and they can tell you this is not a good route, then know that it's not a good route. And we know that. I mean, we know bad and we know good. I mean, there's no one here that can really claim insanity about that, right? We all know that. But sometimes we're like, oh, you know, I'm going to do it on my own. I want to figure this out. Yeah, sometimes it could be too late. So let's not go there, folks. And so, you know, Chris, thank you for really breaking it down. Now, I love what you said about you're healthy, you're ripped, you're doing stuff, you've been in this world, and you manage all that. I want to touch on that a little bit about the health. And I know you had some health condition that you kind of cured yourself, kind of.
I did.
And we want to talk about that. That's a big one because many people may possibly experience what you've experienced. And there's probably surgery that's in stake there. And you've managed your way out of surgery to heal it. So we'll touch that in a minute. But I want to talk about that piece of your leadership. And your skills, and how really, you know, you manage to lead and be in that position. Now, the reason I want to highlight this is that for anyone that's out there in the beginning of career, and, you know, you got to look at this, you know, it's a long journey, it's a marathon. And if you want to go to the next level, there are certain steps. And you've done some of the stuff, you know, to make that leap. So what were some of the things that really made you noticed enough with this now currently your friend at the time, your boss?
All right, so in the leadership position, you need to listen more than talk. You need to listen to the people around you, you know, in the business or whether it's a sporting event or a sporting team. But in the business, I used to listen to my employees. I used to listen to their suggestions. And then I would dissect all their suggestions, and then maybe use a little bit of his, That's what a true leader does. Because a guy that thinks that he's a leader and he's going to tell everybody how to do things, he's not a true leader. Can't be. They're going to walk away, make faces, talk under their breath about him. You need to listen to your people. Your people is what makes you. It's the people who work in the company, make the company. The boss is the boss. But the people make the boss money. The people are there every day in the grind working. The boss is in the office. Okay? So you need to listen to your people. If you want to become a leader, just listen to your people. You're going to get people who don't make any sense, but you're going to get people that make a lot of sense. And those are the ones that you keep. And that's what makes a true leader. You know, a baseball team, you've got a manager. He manages the team, but he listens to the ball players. I know because I played baseball. The coach used to listen to the players. And same goes with the major leagues. Same goes in business. It's all together. So a true leader, first, is a man of his word. He's dedicated to his people. Because you got to be dedicated. You're the leader. You got to be dedicated to your people. You got to get them, give them all the respect. You don't scream. A leader does not scream at his employees. Okay, you get pissed off. You could talk with a pissed off voice, but you don't have to scream. Once you start screaming, you lost all your power. That's it. You're out the door. So these are just tips on leadership. You know, you asked, you know, how do you become a successful leader? I coached a baseball team that I had to formulate and put together. It's in the book. It's on my website. There's newspaper articles about it. I put this team together of the elite players from all over Queens, Brooklyn, New York City. I put a team together that was phenomenal. And we won back-to-back-to-back, three championships in a row, all based on leadership and let the guys do their thing. Great story. If you're on my website, you read the newspaper articles, that was a great, great time in my life. That was a good time.
Well, thank you, Chris. And you know, I mean, the topic of leadership is a big one, right? And I love what you said, is that you're only as good as your team. Your team makes who you are, and you certainly don't know it all, and that's why you have a team. The team is doing the grind and this stuff. And of course, some bosses also get, you know, into the trenches as well. But the idea is that you cannot always be right, and you do need to listen to the feedback and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Steve Jobs said it best, you know, we don't hire people to tell them what to do. We hire people to tell us what to do, right? And I think that's a big, you know, quote right there. And you've used that. I don't think you've communicated with Steve Jobs, and this is probably before even that even happened. But the fact is, you used the same concept, and that's actually, you know, a concept that never fails. And by the way, you give the analogy of you know, baseball. This works whether you're in business or in sports. It's the same. Teams and leadership is just, as a matter of fact, a lot of training I do when we do leadership training and things like that is sports teams and sports movies. And we dissect, you know, how the whole thing works and things like that, because that's really what, or you look at actual real championships and how some of these coaches, you know, run their teams. I mean, you know, whether it's football, whether it's baseball or basketball, I mean, these teams don't just make it, you know, to the top. There's a lot of stuff that goes, there's a lot of synergy. And so that's important. You know, thank you for breaking that down a little bit to our audiences. And so now you've done all that. That's great. But then something happened in your health that kind of, you know, hurt you for a minute, and you were able to adjust. So let's talk about that incident and what it was and how you went from medicinal or non-medicinal to really cured, you know. And this is something that, by the way, folks, if you're watching or listening, you want to listen to this, because this can happen to any one of us anytime and any given time. So go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay, so in my early 50s, I was eagle lifting at the gym. Eagle lifting is, you know, when you're surrounded by a bunch of guys, you know, you bench pressing 350, 380, 360, and that's what I did. I had no right doing it, but in my 50s, I was going to change a life. You know, got my eyes, surgery done on my eyes, you know, just different things. You know, went, bought whole new wardrobes, new cars. So I said, I want to get a little more size. So I started lifting heavy. While I was lifting heavy, what happened? I got a hernia. Here's my book, Hernia Without Surgery. Go to the doctor, right? The hernia is by my groin. It's called an inguinal hernia. Go to the doctor, he looks at it. He goes, you got a hernia. I said, okay, so what do we do about it? So now this is 15 years ago. He says, well, we'll set you up for surgery next week. I said, really? Let me think about it. Before I make any appointments that you're going to cut me open, let me think it over. Thought it over. I said, I'm not getting surgery. First of all, I don't believe in conventional medicine. I don't believe in taking pills for a headache, painkillers for, you know, elbow ache. I don't believe in that shit. Okay, I'm all natural. So I said, I'm going to figure out on my own, a lot of research, how I'm going to maintain and cure. You can't really cure a hernia, though. You can't, because you just broke six layers of skin, and that's why you have a lump coming past your abdominal area or by your groin area. You really can't cure it, you know? I know when you get surgery, they put a patch. Like you put a hole in the wall, they put a patch and they put spackle over it. It's basically the same thing, but they're going inside your body and they're putting this piece of mesh. I don't want that. I don't want no foreign part in my body. And furthermore, if the mesh snaps in your body, guess what? You're back in surgery. You're going to get to reopen you up and you got to redo the mesh. So that wasn't for me. So I said, I'm going to find a way to maintain it. And I did. Here I am, 65 years old now, 14 years later. You can hardly even notice that I have a hernia. It's there. It does inflame once in a while from stress, because stress will inflame it. If you eat any toxin foods and you create inflammation, it'll start getting puffy again. But I figure out techniques, it's in the book, of how to get it as down as possible. I still work out in the gym. I still do my exercise. I don't lift, you know, 375 or 350 anymore. But I'm working out and I'm living a normal life without the surgery. So I have a lot of testimonials on my website. People wrote good things about me because they follow me on the hernia. I got some exercise, certain ways to train with the hernia so you don't re-injure it. It's on my website also, couple of movies that I did. And yeah, no surgery.
Well, so Chris, just to, I know you can describe, you know, a little bit of what that looks like, but like, I mean, basically you tear off your tissue internally and, you know, basically now you have a gap and it gets bubbled up and you basically have very, it's a dangerous situation. I mean, you know, you don't have any cover in that area, right? So you can rupture it, you can do a lot of things, you know, so it could be very, you know, health problematic, right? But right. You figure, and I love what you said, you know, there's a way to do this. We can do surgery or I can manage it without surgery because, as you said, listen, surgery is, we have the best surgeons out there and they can do a miracle about it and make it work. But again, even the best surgeon will tell you, if you can avoid getting under the knife, do that because there's always a risk with surgery, whether it's blood clots mm-hmm. and other things that can happen and or infections and so on and so forth. So it is a difficult, you know, thing to undergo. And if you can avoid it, please do. But certainly, you know, the natural way, the body can heal itself. And certainly there are ways to do it whether, and even you manage how to work out without giving it too much, you know, impact. And so that's sure. great. And certainly the videos can help. So anyone that wants to take a look, you know, we're going to have the link in the description of the show. So please click in and check it out. But was there any regimen of food, you know, diet, anything that you did to kind of heal your muscle and kind of help it maybe kind of just retract a little bit and close it? You know, was there any of that?
Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah. Regardless whether you have a hernia or not, you should not be eating foods that cause inflammation. Inflammation is what kills you, not a heart attack. It's the inflammation around the heart that'll kill you or the arteries. So now let's go back to the hernia. When you have inflammation, because you ate dairy. See, dairy is number one on my list for inflammation, milk, anything associated with dairy. Dairy There's an old saying, milk is for kids. Milk is not for adults. That's for kids. When they're 2, 3, 4 years old, you give them milk because they need to grow. Once they're grown, you don't need to drink milk anymore. You can get your calcium from so many different things. You can get calcium. But getting back to your question, yes, you got to eat healthy. If you have a hernia, it's crucial that you eat healthy. Now, what's healthy? Foods that benefit your body, not foods that are going to harm your body. So in my life, I eat food that benefits me, my muscles, my bones, my eyesight, my hair. I eat only foods that help me. Every morning when I wake up, I have a glass this tall of homemade aloe vera drink. I drink aloe vera, homemade. I buy the plant, I make it. The next day, I got a big gallon. It lasted me for about 5 days. But every morning, the first thing in my body is aloe vera. And I'm going to tell you why it's important to drink aloe vera. It detoxes the body. It's an antioxidant, anti-aging, protects the cells in the body. It's good for digestive health, good for gut health, vitamin C, and skin health. Now, with all those good things that you just heard, why wouldn't you drink aloe vera? Why? I just gave an important item that will help you. You'll see in the matter of 2 weeks, watch a difference in your skin, your eyes, your hair. Watch a difference. Drink aloe vera fresh, homemade.
So when you say homemade, you just basically squeeze it like in a blender and kind of that's it? You blend it out?
No, not like that. What you do is you get 2 leaves, you wash them real good, right?
Yep.
You chop them up, you put them into the jug, all the pieces. Once the 1 gallon jug is filled with water and 2 leaves of aloe vera, it's all chopped up, you shake it really good and put it in the refrigerator for a day. All the aloe drips into the water. Okay? And then when you take it out in the morning, you give it a little shake, pour yourself a glass about that big, and then down and drink it. 7 days a week, that's what I do. First thing in the morning, after I break my fast, because I fast, I don't eat for 14 hours. So when I break my fast, the first thing in my body is the aloe vera, because it runs through the kidneys, the liver, the blood, goes right to the cells, and it activates everything in your body. Really good stuff, man. Really good shit.
Thank you, because I thought it was like more like a juice concept where you just blend it, but it's really just, you know, aloe vera chunks in water that kind of simmer there, and basically you're just drinking that aloe vera stuff that goes into you. Just like when they say like lemon water or things like that. So it's a similar concept.
It's so simple, you know. I also do a juicer, my wife and I. You know, I think it's like, I think we do it every 3 months. We do beets, and we put that in a juicer, not a blender, a juicer. We put beets, watermelon. By the way, watermelon is really good for you. Beets, watermelon, cucumber, celery, and we juice it and we drink it. It lasts for about 4 or 5 days. And that's what we call a cleanse. It really cleanses everything in your body, your blood, your heart, your arteries, everything. It just goes so good for you. We do it every 3 months.
Well, thank you. And you mentioned something about you kind of break fast, you fast for 14 hours. So basically you stop eating, let's say 6 p.m. and you kind of eat at 10 the next day or something like that, right?
You got it.
Oh, exactly. 8 o'clock. Yeah. So that's how you play it, and, you know, kind of works,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. My first meal is at about 10:30 in the morning. I eat protein oatmeal.
Okay. Protein oatmeal. Now, is that a homemade concept or?
Yeah, it's homemade. Homemade protein oatmeal. Homemade.
So you just do everything yourself. You make everything your own. That's good.
Yeah. We do everything on our own because we're out in the streets, you know, they say it's healthy, but is it really healthy? I want to know what I'm really putting in my body. When I go out, you know, even if you go out to eat, My wife and I, we stopped going out to eat because, you know, you get a steak, it's loaded with butter, right? You get vegetables, they load it with artificial olive oil. No, I'm not eating like that. No, I don't want to eat like that. I want to know what I'm putting in my body. So most of the stuff that my wife and I do is homemade.
Well, so let's take a minute on that, because you know it's a big topic about food today, and you're right. You know, it's just unbelievable to realize that what we have out there, it's really synthetic for the most part, very dangerously high with pesticides and, you know, glyphosates and all the stuff that is really bad for you. And you know, we have all the wrong things that are being on the shelves that for common stuff that we use. The oils that we have are basically inflammatory and all these things. And I'm not just hurricane saying this, you know, I have the nutrition channel and the High Health channel. So we do a lot of, you know, looking into this stuff, and we've had experts, and as well as, you know, I follow a lot of the good groups out there and the advocates on nutrition and things. And it is amazing what you've last year. I mean, my eyes got bigger and my ears got bigger in terms of the information that's out there and what we're seeing. I mean, mentioned this a couple of shows. You know, my wife and I were just having fun earlier. I have an actual Burger King Junior in the fridge for about 3 months. It hasn't spoiled, and I had a hot dog for 4th of July. One spoiled halfway, the other one hasn't yet. So imagine, you know, what that means in your body when you eat something that cannot possibly spoil in 3 months. In fridge or not fridge, things, you know, do go bad. If you buy, you know, anything else in a couple of weeks, it's just going to go bad. These things are literally, I mean, it looks exactly the way I did it. It's just old, but that's kind of amazing. And that's really what people are eating out there. And so all the stuff that's out there is dangerously and not healthy for us. Now, yes, it tastes good because they put all the stuff that is tasting good in it, right? The sweets and stuff, the sugars and all that. But when you look at it, it's all dyes, sugars, corn syrups, different types of sugars, you know, and or sugar in a different name. You got all the extra stuff that is not healthy for you, all the chemical things that you cannot pronounce, all that stuff. I mean, ingredient lists are like, you know, super, you know, long in our products where it's funny. I look at these things. I was at a store the other day and I picked up a bag of chips, and I turned it around. It was not domestic. It came like an import, right? And you know, it had three ingredients and it was all natural. There was nothing else. You know, so basically it was avocado and maybe salt and something, but it was three things that were completely, you know, things that we can eat, and there was nothing else. I picked another one that was local and it had about 10 ingredients. A couple of them I couldn't even pronounce. They were all like, you know, chemically enhanced stuff, sugars in there and things like that. I mean, no wonder we have diabetes and obesity and all these things are like, you know, crazy, ADHD, dementia. All these things are really a direct, you know, outcome of what we are being, you know, fed, you know, in this world. Now, I love what you said. When you do these blends and, you know, these juices and stuff, I'm assuming you buy the good stuff, the more organic, exactly. Organic. And even organic, we have to be careful. There's some things that are disguised in organic, not fully organic. So you got to do your homework. You know, and again, I follow a lot of guys, you know, on the social media that actually literally that's all they do. They actually, you know, show you the products, what are substitutions that you can have. And mm-hmm. if you follow these guys, you probably can make, you know, a better health choice, you know, without breaking the bank. And there's a lot of out there, you know, stuff that's available that's healthy. I mean, it costs you a couple of pennies more, you know, maybe a couple of dollars more, you know, these days. But your health, you know, is worth some extra dollars, you know, no matter what. And you can still make it in the budget without, you know, going crazy. So thank you for actually highlighting that part, because the nutrition part, as you mm-hmm. said, your body's got to heal the right way, got to get the right nutrients in order for it to maintain. I mean, God bless. You said 65. You look good, man. And, you know,
thank you.
And you feel good, I bet, you know, because that's the other part. You don't feel aches. I love what you said. You don't take medications and pills for pain. I mean,
no.
Pain is going to happen. But if you can sustain the pain, you know, and by the way, pain means inflammation, as you know, as we say. So there's something that triggered it. So we just have to find that source. And again, always find the root cause of whatever is affecting our body. And there's a good chance you can figure it out. And if, you know, again, fasting is a great thing, as you said, to detox your body. Mm-hmm. It's great. So all these are like you've highlighted all the key things that can make you live a vital life and healthier and really be able to do things at any age, really, and even older age, without any problem. I mean, your aging process, there's the natural aging. I think there's the metabolic aging, whatever they call it, you know. So there's all these things that we have to look at, and you just have to maintain, you know, the tradition of health. And it's not very easy, but again, it takes awareness. And you did it. I mean, you managed, and I love also the fact that you put all these tips in your book. Now, you've had multiple books, not just that one, right?
I wrote 3 books, yeah. I have 3 books on the other ones about how to increase testosterone naturally.
Oh, that's big. You want to spend a minute on that one, because testosterone is the big thing for guys, and I think even some for girls, there's some level. You know, I think there was a discussion one time we had where there's some of that, but we're different in terms of that. But really, for the guys, that's the biggest. You know, low T is like it's really affecting a lot of guys in a lot of areas. Your hair, you know, your stamina, your metabolism, all the stuff goes down the hill. So how do you do that? How did you manage to boost up your testosterone?
Because this is how I went to a doctor. I believe I was about 50, maybe 58, 59 years old. And I took PEDs in my early 50s. Remember I said I was going through change of life? I took performance enhancing. I was on testosterone. I was on some steroids. I did take it. And the reason why I took it is because I wanted to get a little bit more size. And, you know, a guy in the gym, he told me how to do it. So I started doing it without a doctor's, you know, supervision. Not realizing, and this is important for you young guys, when you take it, remember, when you come off of it, that's where the problems start. And I'll tell you why. Your body shuts down the production of testosterone because you're putting this synthetic, you're injecting synthetic testosterone in your body. So the body is a machine. So the body says, you know, body talks. The body says, oh, I don't have to produce testosterone. They're putting synthetic. He's putting synthetic. When you come off of it, the body still won't produce it. So now what do? This is what you do. You go get a blood exam. If you're lower than 300 nanograms, below 300 nanograms, you're starting to run into danger on low T. And you mentioned all the symptoms of low T. Fatigue, low libido, you lose your self-confidence, you lose it. So I went to the doctor and my testosterone was lower than 300 nanograms. And now I know why, because I was taking synthetic. So what do you think the doctor said? Oh, we're going to put you on TRT, testosterone replacement therapy. I said, really? I said, no, I don't want it. And the reason why I don't want it, because when you do TRT, remember I said this, it's for the rest of your life. That means every week, you got to get a shot. You got to go to the doctor, take blood exams. Your blood thickens. Your blood pressure goes up. You got to check your prostate. You got to check your heart. I don't want that. That's like being a slave. I'm a slave to that. I'm not slaving to that. So I told my wife, I'm going to figure out a way to raise my testosterone. So now, when the test is in the book, here, this is the cover of my book. That's a picture of me taken 8 months ago. Okay? I was at 81 nanograms. 81 nanograms is horrible. It's a disaster. You should be on TRT if you got 81 nanograms. But what I did was I figured out, did a lot of studies, did a lot of research. I did a lot of tests. I'm like a billy goat. I tried everything, and then I found the formula that worked. I went back to the holistic doctor, different doctor this time, holistic doctor, right? Took a full exam again. So I went from 81 nanograms, a little less than 700 nanograms. That's huge. That is huge. I was in the office. My wife was sitting there. Doctor said, wow, I can't believe your testosterone level is so high. Okay, I walk out of the doctor's office, now I'm the happiest guy in the world. My wife gets in the book, in the truck, and she says, I want you to write a book. I said, you do? She said, yeah. Why not? Show these guys, and this is my wife talking, show these guys that they need to stop listening to doctors. Doctors want TRT because they get the $300-$400 a month. Okay, so do the math. If you can get 100 guys a month at $400 a month, look at the money that they're making. So she said, write the book so people can learn or follow some of your program. If they don't want to follow all your program, that they can get natural testosterone the way you did. So I wrote a book. Very simple. I wrote all the steps. I think there's 7 or 8 steps to the book to raise your testosterone. And look at today, 65 years old, 700 nanograms is my testosterone level. I'm good. I'm good. A 65-year-old man, his testosterone, if it's normal, it's about 400. I'm at 700. And I'm going to stay at 700 because I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing.
Well, I know that we'd like people to actually get the book, but without going into the details, is that like just natural remedies, food? Is it a combination of multiple things? Yeah. Is it like just herbs? You know, I mean, just in general, without going into
details. I'm going to share. Even if people don't buy my book or not, you don't have to buy my book. Just listen to this interview and then you'll be on your way. Okay, so we talked about olive oil, right? Okay. When you go to a store and you're ready to buy a bottle of olive oil, I want you to look at the back label. When you look at the back label of olive oil, if it comes from 5 or 6 different countries, you got to put it back on the shelf. You're not buying authentic olive oil. Olive oil has to come from one place. Now, we buy olive oil in my house either from Greece, Italy, and Morocco. But we know it comes from one place. So when it comes from one place, now you bought genuine 100% olive oil. And the reason why I say olive oil is because olive oil will increase your testosterone by 17.4%. So I take a glass of water. I take 2 tablespoons of olive oil, mix it in the water, and I drink it 5 days a week, 2 days off. You'll increase your testosterone level in a matter of 2 weeks just by using olive oil. Ginger. I eat fresh ginger every morning. My wife chops it up. I take 1 teaspoon, it's equivalent to 5 ounces of ginger, is 1 teaspoon. She chops it up, I scoop it up, I have a couple of pieces of pineapple, and I eat fresh ginger. Why do I eat fresh ginger? Fresh ginger is great for so many things. It reduces inflammation, increases testosterone, increases blood flow, which us men need. We need blood flow, okay? So that's why I eat ginger. It's also good for your dopamines. You get happy. Eat ginger, watch about half hour later. You feel happy because it goes to the brain.
Who needs drugs, right? You can do it naturally.
Right. And that's why earlier I said, I use food to benefit me. Okay? And that's what I do. So, yeah. So I gave you a couple of tips. There are some supplements. I'll share a few. It's on my website. One of them is called Tomcat Ali. This here will help increase your testosterone by 27%. Now, this here goes great with Tomcat Ali. It's called Fandogia Agrestis. This here will hold the level of your testosterone. So if your level's at 450, the Fandogia will hold it there. It'll keep it there. So those are steps that I did, and I still continue to do it. I don't take supplements 7 days a week. There's one supplement that every person, man, female, should be on, and I strongly recommend it, is vitamin D. Vitamin D is so important for your body, especially for us men. Now, I go into the sun. I live in Florida. I walk my 150-pound dog 4 or 5 times a day. I'm in the sun, 15 minutes a pop. So I'm getting natural vitamin D, which spikes, not increase, spikes testosterone, is the natural vitamin D. Now, on a rainy day, I'll go in the refrigerator and I'll take 10,000 IUs of vitamin D K2 when on a rainy day, okay, which increases testosterone. It does a lot of other good things. You know, it's good for your bones, it's good for your muscles, it's good for your brain. It's just overall good for you. So is magnesium. Those are two supplements, magnesium and vitamin D, everybody should be on, man or woman. Everybody should be on those supplements.
Well, thank you for sharing some of the I guess the key ingredients to, because testosterone is a big, you know, and I love the idea that you added the concept of vitamin D. We've talked about it, and we have actually a wellness talk on the network, and you know, George Batista, and he covers a lot of these supplements. So folks, you know, you can deep dive with him as well, and there's right. a lot of details. He breaks it down to all that stuff. But thank right. you for taking, you know, us on that. And I love what you said about the olive oil. I have to say, it's funny because you mentioned Greek, you know, Italian and or Morocco. I am from Morocco. So actually I have that every morning. I have olive oil literally every morning. But also I have the Greek, you know, olive oil and the Spanish olive oil. They're very powerful. I've had Italian, but you got to, it's a hit and miss. You got to find the right one. So not the ones in Costco, but they have, you know, some real imports that you can get from like, you know, like, I don't know if you have Lidl in Florida, but they have some good ones here in the upper eastern U.S. concept here. But you can find these things where you can order them, you know, online.
Online. We buy online.
There's great ones, and you're right. The content is pure, and it's not mixed. You don't know. It's not cheated. It's really potent stuff. And you right. can tell one thing about olive oil, if you have it, once you take, first of all, it has a strong taste, you know, and it's a good taste, like a sweet kind of tasty.
It tastes delicious.
It is delicious. And it actually, when you, and also Turkish, there's also good Turkish, you know, oils that you can get out there. But if you, believe me, if you have, you know, in the morning, your throat hurts, whatever, and you put some real olive oil, it's going to actually burn in your throat. That's how strong it is. But it's not a bad burn. It's just like, you know, that there's some, it's like the honey, right? If you have something in your throat and you put some real raw honey, you right. feel it. So it's pretty powerful. So I love the natural concept here. And really, these are things that anybody can do. You know, it's funny because I travel a lot. So I go to Spain. And in Spain, breakfast, you go to any place, they have there's always an olive oil on the table for your bread. And you kind of like just pour that thing on there. And it's very delicious stuff. And and by the way, you notice people in Europe, they're kind of healthier than us. Unfortunately, they are. And, you know, right. whether we like it or not. Yeah, they may not be as big and go to gym the way we do here. But their food, their nutrients are much healthier. So physically, they're better than us in a lot of ways. And that's not a secret. People today, they've discovered that European food, similar stuff that we sell in the U.S. versus in Europe, for example, have less ingredients that are bad to you and health, and there's no less pesticides and things like that. I mean, they've done studies now where pretty much almost, you know, if you eat non-organic, you're going to have pesticides in your body, whether you like it or not.
100%.
And then I was just looking at a study that was done, and they took a family that they kind of removed everything that is non-organic and gave them organic, and a couple of them, and they tested them, their urine and stuff before, and they found the actual levels of pesticides. And as soon as they switched a couple of weeks later, all those pesticides almost vanished. There was very little left over on those. And just show you, you know, what it is, because frankly, that's what it is. I mean, the chicken we eat, the food we eat, everything that we eat is kind of like all manipulated in a way or shape or form.
Right.
And it's really not healthy. Now, I get it, folks. You know, if you're listening to this, it's probably like, you know, either an eye opener or like, shut up, hurricane. You know, we don't want to hear this. Well, it's up to you, folks. But, you know, that, I always give the image of the Matrix movie where red pill versus blue pill. That's a choice we have to make, right? You get the red pill, you know, now you know what to do. You get the blue pill, you know, and you stay whatever you are and you're comfortable, and that's cool. But it's never going to be cool when you start getting sick and feeling pain and aches and things like that, and things get worse. Now, again, there are no guarantees that we're going to be 100% healthy, but we do our best, you know, in terms of what we do. And chances are it works if you keep it up right the right way. So thank you for really breaking that down. Now, there's a third book. What was the third book about?
So it's the hernia book, the testosterone, and then it was the memoir about my life, Belonging to Yourself. It's about my life growing up as a little kid until today.
Well, so you shared some of that, you know. Now, that's an impressive thing because, you know, looking into yourself, I think we all owe it to ourselves to do that. That exercise you've done is that reflect on who we are and kind of work on ourselves. I think one of the biggest things that can make, you know, people successful versus not is the ability to change who we are, and not in change your character, change your skills, learn more, become better, you know, improve yourself in like, whether physically, mentally, or spiritually, as well as in the business world. And that's what it is. You have to be highlighting yourself more and more. And the more we do of that, the more we change. Again, I follow Jim Rohn and, you know, and his talks and stuff. And it's pretty powerful stuff. And that's one thing that he's emphasized on over all his, you know, talks and stuff, or most of his talks, is that you got to change yourself. You got to improve yourself. And by the way, you're a perfect example. The start was not, you know, the best start, as most people, you know, would probably refer to it. But it's not important how you start. It's where you are and how you finish and how you continue living and thriving, right? And anybody can have a bad start or a false start, right? You know, it's never too late. We can reset. We can recoup. We can change things at any given point. The key here is we have to reflect, see what's up, and then make a decision and get committed to it, because that's the other thing.
Well, I want to say something that you just mentioned. It's funny that you mentioned it. When I first started the outline to my memoir, my wife and I were sitting in the room and we were writing the outline. I looked at her and I said, look at this life. Who would want this life? And she looked at me and said, you wouldn't be the person who you are today if you didn't have this life. I said, you know what? You're right. And on my website, healingwarriors.com, there's a movie trailer of my book. And in the movie trailer, it mentions that same thing that I said. When I first started writing this book, I said, who would want this life? And you just brought it up. And look how my life turned out.
But that's a big thing because, you know, listen, folks, there is nobody that's perfect, and we're never going to be perfect.
Of course.
So that's a fact, right? But the idea is that, you know, we grew up in different circumstances. Everybody out there, no matter where you live in the world, you know, and everybody thinks everybody else is better living. And you always have some that are living better, some that are living less. And that's just a fact, you know, whether or not we want it or not. You know, so sometimes, you know, we hang ourselves into the idea like, you know, I want more, and I want this. And there's nothing wrong with ambition and things. But the idea is that, you know, sometimes you look at people that have less and you be grateful for what you have. But at the end of the day, we make sometimes the wrong decisions. We get involved in the wrong things. And, you know, and by the way, I think this question comes out all the time in a lot of shows. We're like, would you change anything in life if you had to go back? You know, most of us don't regret things that we've done. But you know, can we make some movements, some changes? I think we all could have made some better moves, if you want to call that. It's like, it's just a fact. If we all reflect on our life, you know, there's a couple of things that it's like, you know, when you watch movies about, you know, time travel, right? They all want to go back to change something so that the future is different, right? Well, that's exactly the concept here. You know, we want to go to change things, you know, in the past, because there are things that we could have, you know, I mean, think about it. We know, for example, who won the World Cup, just given it, or like the championship.
Right.
You know, if you go back in time, you can bet the right bet, right? I mean, for those people that bet. But the concept is very similar. I'm just having fun with it. But the idea is the same. Now, are we going to go back in time? Definitely not. But can we stop now, reflect on the past, learn from it, make adjustments, and then move on? Because the future hasn't been written yet. We can still do things, you know, ourselves. I mean, maybe it's written in the scheme of, you know, the divine, but not in our way. We don't know what's going to happen in the next second, let alone the next day. But can we make a move for better things? We can. Go ahead.
What's fascinating is people like you. See, you're a host of a podcast show. You get people like me and all these other people to share their stories, to share their all their learnings. My generation, we didn't have podcasts. We never even had a cell phone. So people like you are special, man, because you're hosting a show and you got all these great people on your show giving great information for those people who need to hear the information. So they don't have to go to a library. They don't have to go to a therapist. They don't go to a podcast show and listen to various shows. So you're special. All the podcast hosts out there are special because this is information that's handed to the young people today. So,
well, thank you for that compliment there. But I do want to say something equally. You know, we're only hosts and we cannot make anything better without, you know, our guests, of course. And the information, as you said, the great people that we invite, you know, are the ones who really are the experts. They're the ones who have the knowledge, the skills, the information that can make a difference. So again, we create a platform to share information. As a matter of fact, you know, when I started this whole thing 5 years ago, the concept was to educate, enlighten, inspire, and motivate. And I live with that mission to date. I mean, even our tag is enrich your mind and soar beyond, you know, limits. Is our motto is time to evolve. So this is just me personally. And you're right. There's thousands of podcasters out there that are doing equal work in different areas, different expertises and stuff like that. And they all, you know, what I refer to all these shows out there, to me, is like lectures. So, you know, literally, they're lectures by the best of the best of the best in the world. And by the way, you know, it's not just from the U.S., not from Canada. It's everywhere. We have guests from all over the continents on this planet, which means we have diversified knowledge, expertise, experiences, you know, learning, education. All these things are different in different parts of the world. So we are taking that and making it a different, you know, opportunity for people. So thank you for that, Chris. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I like to share. I like to share that the men today, by the age of 30, their testosterone levels are dropping, and they're dropping rapidly. And I want to just put it out there, you know, so people can hear this. The reason why your testosterone level is dropping is because Wi-Fi, microwaves, radiation, here's a big one, plastic toxins. You're eating everything out of a plastic bag, or you're drinking soda, or you're drinking Gatorade, or water bottles from a plastic bottle. You're loaded with toxins. Those toxins will decrease your testosterone. They will interfere with your testosterone. We all know sugar is the worst thing for testosterone. So if you're eating sugar, you got to get off sugar. So, you know, sugar raises insulin. Insulin goes up. Estrogen goes up. And what happens? It blocks the testosterone production. So you can't produce it. Now, there's one other thing. When's the last time you checked your toothpaste?
Fluoride.
Okay. So here's toothpaste. Do you see that black mark, that black stripe right there? Do you know about this?
Yeah, there's different colors for different ingredients and natural versus not. Yeah,
this blue, is green, right?
Green, yeah.
Green. Okay. This is loaded with chemicals. So if you look at your toothpaste and you see black, throw it in the garbage. This one here is blue or green, greenish blue. This is all natural toothpaste. Now, the reason why I bring it up is because if you're putting chemicals in your body, you're swallowing it, it's running through your bloodstream, it's going to your brain, and what are you doing? You're harming your body. But the companies don't tell you that. They don't tell you that it's loaded with chemicals. They don't tell you that. So that's why I put things out there. Here's one pollution that no one talks about.
Oh, go for it.
Okay. In my generation, when you died, they buried you. You went to a cemetery. Today, everybody gets cremated. Okay. So what happens to the body when the body is no longer, when the body's dead? What happens? Your body
decomposes.
your body is loaded with toxins. And then when they put you through the crematory, and now you're on the in the furnace, where does all that smoke go? It goes into the air. And who's breathing all that smoke? We are. So those are toxins, and now you're breathing those toxins. So here's another thing. It's not really talked about much, but it will come out. And I'm talking about it because somebody put me onto this a few months ago. He's a researcher, and you know, it makes a lot of sense.
You know, Chris, you're the first one I heard this from, but it is mind-boggling when you actually think about it. I mean, I have not thought about that, and I didn't even put one into your perspective. But you're right. The percentage of cremations has increased, and you know, the whole idea of us being buried on the ground, we decompose to natural process, and you know, obviously our, you know, of course, even with that, our nutrients, whatever toxins, will still go into the soil, which our soils are already mixed with toxins today. Water, you're talking about, you know, even when looking at the fish that we eat, you know, mercury levels are high. Our, you know, seafood is loaded with bad stuff. I mean, you can't win. I mean, we live in a time where it's all about profits and money and stuff, and you know, we're told, sure, you know, disregard for health and you know, vitality for people, sure, and humans. You know, so what is it going to take? I mean, we've had these discussions a couple months ago in a different show. Yeah, I really want people. And by the way, again, this is not, we want people to thrive financially, right? But we can do it sustainability. I mean, with a sustainable way, there's a way to do these things. We can invest correctly. We can do organic. Yes, you know, and we can all kind of, you know, not want more profits and profits, and we can do something about it. And I think because here's the thing, even businesses, like, you know, my wife just posted something today about Dunkin' Donuts, where this guy's pumping, you know, putting 12 sugar, you know, level, like, drops in this cup with 12 caramel, 14 caramel, you know, pumps. And oh, it's like, shit. it's like suicide, you know, sugar suicide. I mean, you're going crazy. That's normal. People getting these drinks that are like loaded with, like, you know, 20, 30, 50 grams of sugars. You know, I mean, it's even, like you said, mentioned Gatorade, soda, and all the stuff. That's all, you know, the sugar besides the plastics. I mean, I think the amount of plastic we eat an annual now is about a credit card size, you know, without knowing. And these things are forever chemicals that stay in the body and things. So, and you're right. I mean, they found stuff, especially in men in the testicles, you know, they found heavy levels of these plastics and stuff. It is like, you know, for those people that are unaware, you know, this sounds like sci-fi, but it's real, folks. It's happening. It is today. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you could just watch, as you said. I love the samples that you show about the toothpaste fluoride. Same thing in our waters, drinking waters, whether you buy the bottle. I mean, you got to buy the glass, and even that is like, or you have to have like multiple filter osmosis, whatever, these high-end filters that you can, you know, build into your home to hopefully get some fresh water. It is ridiculously, you know, difficult now to have the healthy. At least in the States, we're just way out, you know, compared to other places. I mean, even I was talking to someone about the foods in our school versus, you know, in other countries like Japan. You know, it's like our kids eat garbage, you know, compared to these folks, right?
Forget it. It's horrible. The fast food places. Oh, I mean, come on, man. You got to be really shitting me. I watched this episode of how they make chicken McNuggets. Do you know that? I was grossed out. I mean, it's the bottom of the bottom of the chicken, mixed with a bunch of powder. I watch this episode and I say, who would eat that? But the people that eat it didn't see the episode that I saw. If they saw it, they'd tell their friends, don't eat chicken McNuggets no more. It's horrible. Even the French fries, I hear, they're not even real. They're not even real French fries. There's a bunch of shit.
Actually, it's funny that you said that. If you take a McDonald's fry, and you just drop it in your house and leave it there, it's not going to go. It's going to get crisp, hard. It's like plastic, and it's going to stay there. It's not going to mold or mildew or anything. It's not going to spoil. It's just going to be there just like a little chip. Wow. That's how it is. And by the way, there were some studies about, you know, how those particular, you know, very addictive, you know, potatoes the way they do them. I mean, it's just sick when you start thinking about this. I mean, look, bologna, all the ultra processed food, you know, the hot dogs, the stuff. When you look at how they manufacture those things, it's like, I mean, like, you don't want to eat that stuff. It's all meats that are mixed in, you know, whatever it is. They just put it and mash it up and put in some spices, some colors, and voila, you ate in some stuff. I mean, yeah, it fills you up, but it's your body is like, what the hell? I just ate. It's like plastic. So now your liver is working double time. You know, your sugars, your hormones are kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Nothing is working. And then you get all these health issues and ultimately potential cancer and, you know, other types of problems. So it is a very difficult world we live in. And I think people have to just be aware and make some healthier choices than others. And frankly, folks, I'm going to tell you this. This is true happening to me. I find myself less inclined to eat on the street. I find myself, you know, more like, you know, looking at what I'm eating now than ever. And I don't find a lot of choices out there. That's the other thing, because it's limited. Because in essence, the food that's intended by humans is anything that is grown by earth, that was at sea, or, you know, that is basically alive, you know, that was created, animal, right? But now we have all these foods that are neither. They're just basically in a pack that was basically they manufactured synthetically in a lab. They got some good sweets to them. And when you look at them, it's fluff. There's no nutrient, you know, components to them. It's just like it's food that fills you up, gives you a good hype, you know, and you get addicted. And people that eat these things, they want more of it because it's very addictive. And that's all there is. Now, again, this is not a conspiracy, folks. These are the real things. It's the statistics, it's the studies. People are fighting this, talking left and right. And, you know, I mean, there's small talks out there compared to these industries. They're very powerful and they keep pushing, you know, and some of them, they listen, sometimes they make tweaks, but the scientists are the ones behind these foods. You know, it's a science experiment, and we're the big population of guinea pigs that are getting, you know, live testing.
and what it does also, and this is important for me to share it. What it does is it affects the brain. The food affects your brain. It affects your negative thinking. You eat bad, you're going to think negative. You know that there was a survey, right? Most of your altercations, fights, shootings, you know where they all happen? In fast food places. McDonald's, Nathan's, Burger King. All your altercations start in those places.
Almost.
because of the food. The food that they eat. You know, there's a researcher, he said that, you know, eating unhealthy makes you stupid. When I heard that, I was like, wow, it really makes you stupid if you eat unhealthy? Now that's a researcher saying it. Me, I would never say people are stupid, but you have a choice. In life, you have a choice. You can either eat healthy, and be kind to others, or be unhealthy, be miserable, grow old, and say goodbye. So my path, I'm 65. How much longer do I have here? I don't know. Only God knows. But I'm going to share my story. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to love. And I'm going to live my life peaceful.
Well, you know, Chris, I have to say, first of all, I always say this about authors of books, because you're talking about us podcasters and, you know, shows, and you're right. I mean, this is a new concept, you know, fairly new compared to your era or even when I was younger, right? You know, I'm only a couple of years behind you. So I can tell you the concept is, it wasn't then. We had books, libraries, that's all we had. Today, there's this stuff you can listen to. I mean, like for our network, we are on the podcast platforms. We have our own radio. We can be watched everywhere. Yeah. So people have access to the information. You don't have to sit and watch me talking, but you can listen to Chris or I or any other show, you know, anywhere you go, which basically feeds in the mind, and it's better than watching nonsense, right? But it is what it is. Not everybody wants to spend time watching nonsense is more attractive and entertainment than watching this. But we are here to potentially reach out one, two people at a time. Doesn't matter. If we can get one person to make a difference in their life, that's already a success story, right? And in your, what I started saying is that you as a writer and author of not one, not two, three books, you know, these are all legacies that you're going to leave, you know, that you've already put into the world. And even long after you and I are gone, these things are going to be around for the next generation. Hopefully someone and many others will see the value of it and maybe apply. You know, sometimes, you know, I talk to my kids. My kids don't listen to my shows, but I know one day they probably, when I'm gone, they'd be like, oh, well, Dad had all these shows, you know, let's listen to them. Maybe right. They actually, you know, give that information to their kids. But it's also for everybody else around the world. And, you know, and by the way, this is worldwide, so which means we touch people all over the world. We get downloads from every part of the planet, right? And so we are touching lives, whether we like it or not. You know, right. The mission is being accomplished one person at a time. And that's a big deal. And again, the authors and the writers are where we have our own history. That's where we got all our information from, the thousands of years of, you know, information and education and all the knowledge we have today is because mm-hmm. some people 100 years, 500 years, 1,000, 3,000 years ago were able to compile information and put it into, you know, books that actually been disseminated, you know, and handed down to generations to make it to our world today. And then therefore we have technology and stuff to do all these things. So again, you are the pioneers. You are actually the ones that are making a difference in this world. So I want to, again, you know, just give you that as a, you know, a token of appreciation of the work that you do, because it's not easy to write a book. And certainly three are, you know, grandiose. It's big. So Chris, I know we've passed the hour, but, you know, so your website is healingwarriors.com. So that's where they can find information. They can apply and they get the books. I'm assuming the books are on Amazon and everywhere where the books are sold, right?
Yeah, Barnes & Noble too. Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
All right. And so we're about to close the show, but is there any advice you want to leave our audiences with before we close?
Yeah. Do not let anyone stop you from any of your goals or your mission that you want to do in life. If you're talking to a friend or you're speaking to anyone, family member, and you want to share what your goal is, and they're giving you negativity or they're knocking it down, you got to run. Don't let anyone stop you from doing what you want to do. You have one life to live. Live it, do it. That's you. I say this 100 times. People always, what are you going to do that for? That doesn't make it. What are you, stupid? When you hear all that, just go do what you want to do. You want to be a rock and roll guy? Go do it. You want to be an accountant? Go do it. Don't let no one stop you. Do what you want to do. As long as it's positive and you know that you can help yourself first. And by the way, self-love we didn't talk about, but you got to have self-love.
Well, we're still here, so let's talk about it.
Yeah, you got to help.
Give us some of that. Give us some of that.
Yeah, you got to have self-love. And that's why the book is called Belonging to Yourself, because it was so many years I belonged to other people. I was big with the company. I was big, you know, in street life. I was big with the unions in New York. Okay, I was affiliated with 4 or 5 unions in New York. I was well respected. But guess what? I didn't belong to me first. I was belonging to them. Until I realized when I needed help, no one came to help me. I said, shit, that's because I don't belong to myself. I need self-love, man. So when I did go to that anger management class, I was learning to love myself. I wasn't loving me and I wasn't belonging to me. And that's why I wrote the book, Belong to Yourself, because that's what you need. Belong to you first, and then belong to your family, your kids, your wife, you know, your co-workers. Belong to you first, though. It's important.
Thank you, Chris. And you know what? That's a powerful and beautiful message, because at the end of the day, folks, if you're not in love with yourself, and I'm not talking about selfish love and, like, you know, being, you know, vain, like, really taking care of you first. You cannot be good to the rest of the people around you. You got to take care of number one to be able to be great for everybody else around you and have a positive impact on the others. And I love that message, as well as the message of positivity and believing in yourself. As you said, if you want something, you have a dream, go after it. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You know, if they're not supporting it, you know, then you don't need them in your life. you know, if the true people that love you will support you no matter what. They will be standing behind you 100%. They will lead you. They'll be there for you. And again, that, you know, so Chris, thank you so much for really sharing that. That's a big, big message that, you know, resonates, you know, that should resonate with a lot of people out there. And frankly, we hear it sometimes from a lot of different talks, but it is important. The more we hear about it, the more we get reminded of it, the more we do better. So folks, that's all there is. You're out there, you know, look out for yourself, do the right thing for yourself. As you said, you belong to the world already, but if you don't belong to yourself first, you know, you're just going to be caught in everybody else. And, you know, eventually they can drop you and you're not going to find yourself. So you find yourself first, know who you are, do the right thing by you, then the rest will be easier. It's a beautiful stuff. And we have a whole book for it that you know, we can look into. So please do check out the website. Do actually check out the books. Certainly do listen to this episode and, you know, maybe, you know, even replay it, because there's a lot of stuff that Chris shared with us today that can really make, you know, our lives much better out there. Again, I always say this, I thank my guests because I'm actually the first client of my own shows. I listen to these things that keep me pumped, keep me going. And, you know, I learn a lot, you know, in 5 years, you'll be surprised how much stuff I've changed a lot in my own way, behavior, and how I operate and how I listen to things. And it is a big thing. So it changed me. It is changing people. And, you know, it's all positive, folks. There's nothing that we have shared in this hour or so that is going to take anything away from you in a negative way. It's all going to enforce more. If you're great already, it's going to keep you there and get you better. So that's all there is. All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much for being with us, man. It was an honor, man.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate it as well. Thank you so much. And that's it, folks. So we're wrapping it up. I'm Hurricane H. We'll be talking soon. New day, new show, topic. Bye for now.